The Tennessee Titans have drafted two quarterbacks in back-to-back drafts using the third-round pick last year and a second-round pick this year. What's the difference between Malik Willis and Will Levis? We'll discuss it next on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.
You are Locked On NFL Draft, your daily podcast covering the NFL Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Locked On family? Welcome back to the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast, your daily podcast covering your favorite draft prospects, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your boy, Damian Parson, always on the ones and twos. You can find me on Twitter and follow me on Twitter at DP_NFL. I'm a national scout with the Draft Network and your favorite and local running back guru. And as always, the champ is here with me, Mr. LSU himself, my guy, Keith Sanchez. And you can find him on Twitter at TheTalentCode. Keith, talk to him, baby.
What's up, Locked On family? This is Keith Sanchez, senior draft analyst with the Draft Network, man. In 2019, national champ with those LSU Tigers, man. But you know why we're here, right? We're talking about myself, Damian Parsons. We're here to bring you championship content surrounding the NFL draft. And like we say, man, we in the month of June, right? We in the dog days of the summer, like they like to say, but we still talking draft content. But DP, we got to spin on this one, right? Because we, unfortunately, we were not with our family last year, right? So with a lot of the draft prospects, we didn't get to have in-depth conversations about. And one of the most important positions, or maybe some people say the most important position on the field, is the quarterbacks, right? And we have four. We have the core four quarterbacks that are in prime situations to compete or to start for NFL franchises this year. We're talking about second-year quarterbacks, so from the 2022 NFL draft class, and we want to get into a couple of those guys, but we have to start with, I think, was one of the most odd selections and handling of a young quarterback that we've seen, and that is the Tennessee Titans, from the general manager to the head coach, right down to, I don't know, the quarterback coach. We can loop and throw everybody into the situation. But DP, listen, they've drafted Will Levis, right? So we're kind of talking about, we're kind of knocking out two birds with one stone. We're talking about Malik Willis from 2022 and then Will Levis from 2023. But I want to start at the very essence of Malik Willis. Talk to our listeners, our family, about who you believed Malik Willis to be as a player at Liberty.
He was a player that was the best athlete on the field. You know what I mean? It showed up time and time again where he had to be Superman. He was not surrounded by a lot of talent. And I think Hugh Freeze, who was the head coach there, who's now at Auburn, even said that, they didn't have the offensive line and the necessary requisite weapons and supporting cast to really for him to grow and shine during his time there. I think he ran two different offenses from, you know, between the 2 years he was there, and you saw flashes of big time play. You saw the arm talent, the physical run style, the explosive open field running ability as well. And you saw a guy that, you know, that lacked some, you know, refinement as a quarterback in terms of processing and consistently reading defenses, because he's not playing a lot of high level competition, which, you know, made sense because you're at Liberty. You know, you might play one or two Power Five schools a year, right? I think in 2021, I think it was, or 2020, he played Virginia Tech, and that's a Power Five school that usually has a bunch of draftable defenders. Yeah, and he was the best player on the field that game.
Yeah, he played. So he actually, we had a, I won't say a good sample size, a decent sample size, because in 2022, I'm hoping I'm getting these years correct. I guess that's 2021. They'd always mess me up with what year they was drafted and then the year that they played football. But his last year in college, they played Ole Miss, right? And then that didn't necessarily go well. Then the year before, I believe he played North Carolina State and Virginia Tech in the same year. And neither one of those went well. But DP, I want to rewind this, right? Because I want to get back down to the very essence of this conversation. And we talk about Will Levis being drafted now, Malik Willis, and, you know, Malik Willis, quote unquote, can't play for the Tennessee Titans. Will Levis gets drafted. And then this is my conversation, DP, that if I tell you the Titans, you know, if I give you a draft profile, right, and I say an athletic quarterback, I say he's mobile, he has a big arm, like one of the best arms in the class, and then I say that he needs some refinement as a passer and reading coverages, right? And he didn't necessarily play well in the biggest games. Who am I talking about? That's my point, right?
There's a couple.
My point is this, right? Because I could have been talking about Will Levis, or I could have been talking about Malik Willis. And my point is this, that if you're going to draft Malik Willis in the third round, right, and then give up on him after a couple months, then you went and drafted somebody that had some similar issues, right? Like as far as Will Levis with the same thing. So I guess with the Tennessee Titans, my point is this, DP, that give both guys a shot, right? Because now we're seeing, and this is why I wanted to have this conversation, because we're seeing videos of these guys throwing the football, right? And then it's kind of like the pendulum is consistently swaying. If I can explain it like that, meaning that, you know, we're watching these quarterback drills, Malik Willis, you know, he throws it right on the dot, right? Then Will Levis comes in, he throws it over the net, right? Then it's like, yeah, this is all bad, right? Then you watch another player, oh, Malik Willis' footwork so bad, and then it's like, oh, Will Levis' footwork look beautiful. And it's like, listen, you have two flawed quarterbacks, right? And that's what Malik Willis was, but that's also what Will Levis is too. So, like, give them an opportunity to compete, and that's why we say we're talking about second-year breakouts. Who knows, right, when it comes to that, but you should be building and tailoring the offense, and I think this is going to be a quarterback competition. At the end of the day, I think there's going to be no choice. I think everybody thinks Ryan Tannehill, obviously, he's the most seasoned guy, right? He's the most seasoned, most refined. He's seen more. He's played playoff games, X, Y, Z. But for quarterback two, I think it's going to be a lot closer than what people think. I think, like, you know what I'm saying? Like the issues that Malik Willis have, they're forgetting that Will Levis also has those same issues.
No, yeah, and that's a great point, because that clip of him missing the entire net was like, but I think I use this analogy when me, you've had conversations leading up to the draft. The thing about Will Levis is that his mechanics will always look crisp. It's aesthetically pleasing. It looks good, right? I'm not a baker. My wife can bake, Keith. Guys, my wife can bake. But if you tell me to read the directions, you tell me to whip that batter up and make it look like I know what I'm doing, I can do that. You could record me and drop it on social, and somebody think I'm baking a fire cake that I'm about to throw into the oven. Well, the results of that cake is not going to turn out too well. And that's what you saw all the time on tape with Will Levis, where it's like, man, the compact throwing motion, the footwork, all the zip on the pass, all that stuff looked good. And then he starts throwing it into double coverage because decision-making was bad. Because he starts throwing interceptions because he's not the most accurate quarterback in the world, right? And he doesn't know how to, you know, pull the string and take some air out of his passes. He's just throwing rockets all over the field. Which was, Keith, to the scouting report, that's what people said about Malik Willis, that he was a fastball pitcher who didn't have multiple speeds. Well, neither does Will Levis. That's the same. It's the same problem. But I'm gonna tell you what people compartmentalize and rationalize with this Will Levis thing is that they feel he's a better fit for the offense that they're gonna run for Tennessee. A lot of zone read, boot action, hit the flat route, hit the first read. And it's like, yeah, that's what he did. That's what he did at Kentucky.
Right.
But when you tell him to come off that first read to second to third, that's where he got in trouble.
Yeah, DP, I'm so glad that you led right into that, because that was the next segment that I wanted to break up, right? Because we talked about Will Levis. We kind of outlined who we believe Malik Willis and who we believe he is as a player, right? But now we talk, because this is breakouts, right? We're talking about second-year breakouts, potential to breakout. And what we're saying is this, that this quarterback race will be closer than what people expect heading into a training camp and everything for QB2. Now we want to talk about DP, because we always talk about path to success for players. We believe that the path is much more important than just the player profile, right? You have to set them up for success. So coming up next, DP, you talked about offenses and scheme. I want to talk about what does the Tennessee Titans need to do so they can be able to pull the very best out of Malik Willis and get, you know, basically return on their investment after they spent the third round pick. So let's get into that coming up next.
Guys, the NBA Finals are tied 1-1, Denver Nuggets versus Miami Heat. And right now, there's no better time to make a fast break to FanDuel during the finals. Because right now, new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's $2,500 back in bonus bets if your first bet does not win. What do I love about betting on FanDuel? The app gives you great promotions every single day. There's a variety of options that will fit your liking and what you want to do. The app is also safe, secure, and super easy to use. And one, the best thing about it is getting paid instantly. It's not enough just to win $2,000. I don't want to wait a couple weeks. I don't want to wait a couple days. I really don't even want to wait a couple hours, to be completely honest. I want my money and I want it now. I'd like to get paid instantly. There's no better place to bet on all the playoff action considered America's number one sports book. So all you got to do is visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn and get a no sweat first bet up to $2,500. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel is the official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, Keith. You know, we talked about we talked about Malik Willis.
I want to continue to set the stage for you when I ask you this question, right? Because we watched what happened with Malik Willis last year. He, you know, one game, maybe two games, of seeing action into something to that effect. Then was pulled, right? Then there was a lot of you know, in the media, like I feel like Coach Vrabel kind of, you know, hinted at some things, like kind of getting after him a little bit, right? And it was up to interpretation on if you felt like that was motivational tactics or was that kind of throwing your player under the bus one way or the other, right? But I do want to have the discussion, DP, like we said, we support system. When you watch Malik Willis and you graded Malik Willis, right? You gave him a grade, but then you also was like, hey, if you put this guy in this situation, he can be successful. I want to talk about DP in your eyes, from your perspective. What is that situation for Malik Willis to be successful?
I mean, it might sound like a beating a dead horse. It's a similar situation that we've seen with Jalen Hurts. With Jalen Hurts, you can look at Josh Allen a little bit. You can look at Lamar Jackson as well. Understanding how to formulate an offense around him. You know what I mean? Like, yes, I'm talking consistent pistol, shotgun, zone read. QB, you know, QB read, QB keepers, different things like that. Get the run game really going and then allow the RPO game, the arm talent to really get out there and help this young man, help the game slow down. And I think what we see when you get quarterbacks who are physical and athletic, when you start running them, the game slows down a little bit for them because now these defenders aren't reacting on the drop of a dime. They have to read and react. They're thinking a little bit like, okay, is this ball going to stay with Derrick Henry or is it pulling out with Malik? Because the last five times they give it to Derrick Henry, and if I jump this, Malik can come backside and burn us for 40. So that now they're and you, as you know, as a former defensive coach, Keith, when your players are thinking, that's the wrong thing for them.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You know what I mean? When they're thinking and not reacting, it's the wrong situation.
They're not
so
moving. When they're thinking, they're not moving. Yep.
They're standing, they're sitting there flat footed, but that's what you want as an offensive coordinator. And I don't feel like that's, you know, he started three games last year, but at the same time, like, I mean, you look at it with Jalen Hurts, you have not just a GM and Howie Roseman, but a head coach situation similar to what we saw early in Lamar Jackson's time, but also what we've seen with Josh Allen, a patient coaching staff, right? Now, granted, those guys were first round. Well, Jalen was a second round pick, Allen and Lamar were first rounders, but the point is just patience. Like, you gave up on Malik that fast. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this, to be completely honest, that's some narcissistic stuff, because the simple fact of the matter is your offensive situation is one of the worst in football. And I'm not even going to sugarcoat that. The Tennessee Titans may have the 32nd, almost 33rd ranked supporting cast in terms of receivers, you know, and there's only 32 teams. So it's like, there might be some practice squad receivers that I'll take over their starters outside of Treylon Burks. So it's like, you have Treylon Burks and Chig Okonkwo, but you didn't use Chig for most of the season.
Yeah,
so that's my main thing, is like giving up on a young player. And it's different when things are rosy, man. You know what I'm saying, Keith? It's you can't. I'll put it in a parable like this. I'm not gonna blame somebody for having bad eating habits and they don't have a lot of money to really get the most healthy foods, right? They're buying on the budget. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not easy to really do those type of things. But when you look at what the Tennessee Titans did, they're like, yeah, we know we didn't give you a lot of help, but you just weren't good, and we're going to blame you for that. And I just don't rock with that.
Yeah, and I think that's the tough part. And that's where you like, what we doing, right? And that's why I wanted to have this conversation, especially for our listeners, because I want them to understand, you know, our family, right? Like, start understanding, like, where we at, like, from a philosophy standpoint. Like I said, we talk football, we talk rosters, we talk philosophy, right? And this is a philosophy we're talking about going in, right? Like you said, like, y'all have to understand that y'all went somewhat bargain shopping, right? And you needed a guy that can overhaul an entire situation. Like, you have to be realistic with the situation, right? Like, most quarterbacks need a support system. And that's the part where I was like, I want to talk about Malik Willis, because before we just throw this thing at Will Levison say he's QB2. What were some of the issues at Kentucky, right? We said bad offensive line, no weapons. Well, guess what? The Tennessee Titans need a better offensive line, and they have limited amount of weapons. So how do you feel comfortable, right, with saying that, hey, you know what, Will Levis is going to be much better in this situation than what he was at Kentucky, because it's probably Tennessee Titans is probably the Kentucky version of the NFL, like point blank period, right? Like, just to be completely honest, right, a average, sometimes solid roster, you know what I'm saying, to be competitive in whatever division they are. Sometimes they surprise you, right? Sometimes they have a couple good athletes. It's the same thing. And I think from my perspective, it was just, it's just, you know, I don't even want to say it's frustrating, but you look at it and you're like, hey, like, support both guys, right? Like, I'm not having this conversation to knock Will Levis, but what I'm saying is that this, and I might even tweet this out, that they're going to get the training camp and those offensive coordinators and those head coaches, you know, the head coach, he's going to see Malik Willis, he's going to see Will Levis, and it's going to be the Spider-Man meme. He's going to say, oh, damn, I got two of the same people. Like, that's what's going to happen with this situation, right? I could just see it happening, unfolding in training camp, because both guys will have high moments. They will flash high-level football play. And then there will be moments of, what was that? You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of the conversation, DP, that I really wanted to have around Malik Willis, because, yes, I think there's a support system that can be put in place. We know that this quarterback battle is going to be so heavily contested, man. But I just wanted to talk to our listeners and say, hey, that's just our prediction, right? That, or maybe I'll say my prediction and you let me know if you agree, that I think this quarterback race is going to be closer for QB2, because I think they will play it safe and go with Ryan Tannehill.
If you're objective, Keith, if you're looking at it with an objective eye, it's going to be close. But if you already look at like Malik Willis as a lost cause, you're going to already show bias and lean right into the lane of a Will Levis.
And that's why I want to have this conversation, right? Because I think that Will Levis, his highs and lows, they're going to give you no choice but to start being objective, right? You're like, all right, man, what we doing here, right? Like, I think you're going to have no choice but to, like I said, the spot, like, you're going to have, there's going to be a day. It's probably going to be like August 9th, day in training camp. And then it's going to hit the coaches like, all right, this is a lot closer than what we thought. We tried, you know what I'm saying? But it is what it is. But I think the DP, regardless, man, it's going to be a hell of a conversation. It's going to be fun all the way throughout. Like I said, man, we're going to continue to talk about these second-year quarterbacks. So now we're about to make a transition, right? We talked about a quarterback competition, DP. But in Hotlanta, baby, there is no competition, right? They're just trying to put weapons around Desmond Ridder. So we want to talk about, coming up next, we want to talk about Desmond Ridder, that conversation. What could he be for the Atlanta Falcons? And I'm going to have an interesting comp for him that I don't know if it necessarily fits and works out, but we'll see. So talking about Desmond Ridder coming up next.
Desmond Ridder over for the Atlanta Falcons, Keith. You said that you had you might have a comp for that situation that he, you know, for him down in the ATL. What was that comp that you had?
So I had two comps, DP, that I could not shake when I evaluated Desmond Ridder. It was two people. And one of them is going to be a contradiction, or I guess that's the proper word. The first one was Marcus Mariota. And that's so crazy, right? Because Marcus Mariota was just there and he was sitting behind him. But and that was before Marcus Mariota got with the Falcons. But he reminded, like, from a frame perspective, running ability, right? Just how they were built, arm talent. I thought it was the, you know, like, very similar traits. Now, the things that you buy in with Desmond Ridder that I brought in was the intangibles part. And I'm like, listen, intangibles are different to different people. And so when I talk about intangibles, I'm not just saying, oh, he's a good person, right? Like, he stops at the stop sign, right? Like, he doesn't run, you know what I'm saying? Like he does all the right things, right? Like, it's no intangibles talking about from a football character perspective, people being able to bet on him, mental toughness, you know, the mental fortitude, the perseverance, being able to grind things out with his guys. That's what I talk about when I'm talking about football character and I'm talking about a high character guy. I'm talking about football character, right? And so the other guy, funny enough, we just finished talking about him, but that's a serviceable quarterback. And if the Atlanta Falcons can continue to build his roster out, it's okay. And that was somewhat Ryan Tannehill. Like, that's kind of what I got, the vibe or the play style of what he can contribute to your offense. And like I said, everything is in the moment, right? Like, if I'd have said this 2-3 years ago when the Titans, made it to the AFC championship, that was, I think, and I said Ryan Tannehill, everybody's like, okay, cool, that's a starting quarterback, right? But we understand that Ryan Tannehill had two bad years. So I'm talking about the upside of Ryan Tannehill that I think Desmond Ridder could be. And if you drafted that in the third round, That's pretty doggone good for the Atlanta Falcons, right? And you just continue to fill it out. You make it to the playoffs, and you just see what happens, right? So many things happen. You're talking about fumble punts. You're talking about kick returns. You're talking about defensive backs falling down, right? You're talking about, you know, runs. And then now they put Bijan. They have Drake London and Kyle Pitts around him. So he has three. And when you look at the drafts, right, DP, of the past 3 years, and maybe this is starting to be a trend with Terry Fontenot, not only is it like he's trying to go best play available, but he's going after guys that fit that height, weight, like kind of that special measure, like that, you know what I'm saying? Like they have that height, weight, speed, athletic testing, like that special mold. Like he's going after those guys because Bijan and Kyle Pitts have it. And then Drake London was the biggest wide receiver that past year. So that's kind of my take on Desmond Ridder.
No, those aren't bad takes at all. I mean, the Mariota one, like you said, that was before he suited up for the Falcons.
Yeah.
You know, and long as he doesn't play like the Falcons Mariota, he'll be just fine. Because that was atrocious. What we saw last year, I was hoping it would have been better. But I think the main thing for me, I think his stock is up, man. I think he's a potential breakout candidate, for the 2023 season. Simply because, like you said, now he's a starter. He's an unquestioned starter.
Breakout, you know what I mean? To what, DP? I want to ask you, like, what is – because I kind of talked about what I, you know, kind of seen floor ceiling type situation. What is your floor and ceiling for Desmond Ridder, with the Atlanta Falcons? And I'm asking you because, you know, for our listeners, DP at the Draft Network, he had the Atlanta Falcons in his region. So we're talking about watched probably 12 games of the Atlanta Falcons last year. So he's very knowledgeable of this team. So I want to ask you – what is his ceiling, you know, with this team, and what did you see from him when he was able to play?
Man, I'm ceiling. I like the Ryan Tannehill. I'll take it to like a two times better situation where it's got the arm talent, the mobility, the deep ball accuracy, with something that's not like accuracy and all this stuff is not a really good strength for Ryan Tannehill, but it is to me for Desmond Ridder. The main thing with the floor is kind of what we've seen from I like the Mariota thing to an extent of the floor, not the Falcons version, but like his kind of peak. I think, you know, where he was like serviceable, solid, you know what I mean? But he wasn't a franchise guy. I think that's kind of what you look at the floor. When I watched him, when he came in, you know, as the starter, you know, week 15, the first week was against the New Orleans Saints. It was on the road. That's a tough place to play. And it was an okay type of game. It was all right. I mean, he didn't throw for over 100 yards and he threw for 97, but he didn't make a lot of backbreaking mistakes, things of that nature. It just was, okay, this is his first start. He looked a little bit like deer in the headlights, but then traveling the road to Baltimore last year, then you start seeing to pick it up, going 22 for 33, 218. He didn't throw a touchdown those two. He didn't throw a touchdown until the week 18 game, final week of the season. He played Tampa Bay, and I just saw a guy that brought more to the passing game than what Mariota did. And the crazy thing about it, he didn't have Pitts because Pitts was hurt. You know what I mean? They wasted Pitts on Mariota because Mariota was missing Pitts on the – Arthur Smith is – I'll say this. He reminds me in terms of as an offensive mind, Greg Roman. Great run game coordinator. Kind of middle of the pack, mid – meh type of passing game coordinator. But what I did love about him is that when he knew he got the run game going and he started seeing those safeties cheat down, then he would isolate Kyle Pitts because Kyle Pitts is the deep threat for that offense. Not a Drake London, not quarterback. It's Kyle Pitts. But Mariota missed him. But when you think about when you see, even with Drake London averaged 83 yards per game once Desmond Ridder stepped into the lineup. That was better than what he was averaging with Mariota. So that's why, for me, I think his stock is up. I think he can break out. The main thing in terms of when I say breakout is just being a catalyst for this team winning games. I know people give it to Bijan and everything, but it's going to start and end with Desmond Ridder. Whenever Arthur Smith dials up the deep ball and their isolated shots, got to make those throws. And I believe he can make them. We saw him make them at Cincinnati. You got Alec Pierce and everything. We've seen them make those plays. The biggest thing, Keith, and guys, I'll close with this is he has to be the catalyst, but Arthur Smith has to give him the opportunities. Yeah. You can't just lead on the run the game 400 times, you know what I mean, and think that's going to win games. And win not just games, but win meaningful games against better offenses.
Yeah, I'll say this, man. I trust Arthur Smith to do it, and, you know, we can wrap after this. I'll just make this last statement. I trust Arthur Smith to do it because he got the very best out of Ryan Tannehill. You know what I'm saying? And we got to remember, we've seen some bad Ryan Tannehill at the end of the day. He got the very best out of Ryan Tannehill, and he allowed him to grow and develop. So that's, if you're talking Atlanta Falcons fans, that's the reason why to be, you know, to have some hope going into this 2023 NFL season.
No, 100%, man. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, what Desmond Ridder and that team can do. Hopefully I'll be able to go to training camp and check those guys out and make kind of a little NFC South little travel guide, you know what I mean, trying to hit – I'll be hitting Carolina camp as well. But, guys, we appreciate y'all, as always, for tapping in with us, man. And you know what we tell you, your family, as Keith has said it many times on just this podcast, you guys are family. We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Y'all are our everydayers. Go subscribe and follow for free on YouTube, wherever you listen to podcasts, to get the latest episode as soon as it's available. Thank y'all for making Locked On NFL Draft your first listen today and every day, Monday through Friday. Thank y'all so much for being our everydayers. We're going to keep this rolling with second year breakout potential candidates at the quarterback position. We got Brock Purdy. Some people call him Glock Purdy. Never for me, but you got Sam Howell, Kenny Pickett on tomorrow's show. So tap back in with us. We're going to take a look at their rookie seasons and what, where this could go for them. But in terms of Twitter, you can find Keith Sanchez and follow him at The Talent Code. I'm Damian Parsons. Follow me, DP_NFL. Come and join the conversation again tomorrow on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.